Sports origin stories are often tricky. Dr. James Naismith definitely did invent the game of basketball when he nailed two peach baskets to a wall in Springfield, Massachusetts in December of 1891. Abner Doubleday definitely did not invent baseball in Cooperstown, New York during the summer of 1839. But what about the sport of paintball? Taylor Quimby recently tracked down that story.
This story starts with two men, two dueling philosophies, and an argument.
Charles is sort of a workout freak.
He's just one of the most competitive people I've ever known. He's a jock.
On one side of the argument was author, bodybuilder, and all-around outdoorsman Charles Gaines.
I love to fish and hunt and canoe.
He's got a rugged Robert Redford look and is best known as the author of Pumping Iron. That's the book and subsequent documentary that made Arnold Schwarzenegger a household name.
The greatest feeling you can get in a gym, or the most satisfying feeling you can get in a gym, is the pump.
On the other side was Hayes Knoll, a New York stockbroker and former college football star.
76 years old, born in 1941.
Charles and Hayes were best friends and constant rivals. They played tennis, fished, and skied. A friend said that the pair of them could bet over the length of a dog or the number of bricks in a fireplace.
You have to do everything possible to win, you know, no matter what.
One summer in the late 70s, they rented a house on Martha's Vineyard with their wives. And one night, while grilling bluefish and downing gin and tonics, they picked up on a long-standing argument about the nature of survival. It was a third drink debate that had been raging for some time now, and it had to do with who would be better suited to survive in the wilderness, in a predator-prey situation. Hayes thought his experiences in the high-stakes arena of the New York Stock Exchange made him an ideal survivor. 102. He thrived on adrenaline and was unafraid to take risks.
I can survive in any jungle. So I can survive in the Wall Street jungle, I can survive in any jungle.
Charles believed just the opposite, that outdoor survival relies on a set of learned skills and abilities.
There's a great song by Hank Williams Jr. called A Country Boy Will Survive. We know about rifles and shadows and how to find moss on a tree and how to make a fire when you don't have any matches. Just the idea that you could take city skills and transfer them into that sort of environment is typical of the kind of hubris that a lot of my city friends have.
The two drank and argued into the night, but there was never any way to take it further than words. That was until a few weeks later when a friend sent Charles a forestry catalog, one featuring a unique piece of equipment.
It was a single-shot CO2 cartridge-powered gun, a pistol, that shot paint-based pellets.
It was the Nelspot 007, the world's first paintball gun. It had actually been invented more than a decade earlier for use by foresters to mark trees on difficult terrain and farmers to mark bred livestock. It was the summer of 1979 or 1980. Charles was living in New Hampshire at the time, writing and teaching at New England College in Hanover. He ordered a couple of pistols, then invited Hayes up to see his new toys.
And I said, we're going to settle this one way or another. You say you can survive in the woods in New Hampshire as well as I can. We'll see about that, big boy. Come on up here.
Charles had a little field. It was all brushy. I said, why don't we go out and hunt each other in this field?
I knew where he was almost the whole time from the get-go. And I came up behind him. He was sitting down, getting his breath behind a tree. And I didn't have the heart to shoot him, so I just put the gun up to his head and said, okay, who wins, right?
Now, this is what you'd expect in a parable, right? The prideful and obviously wrong city slicker loses out to the woodsy folklore of the country boy. But this is an allegory. The lesson has to be repeated if you want it to stick. In the mind of Hayes, the stockbroker, nothing was really settled. There hadn't been any rules. Charles was playing on his own property. It ought to be best 3 out of 5. You get the idea. By this time, a third friend had joined the debate, a local ski shop manager named Bob Guernsey.
Guernsey is another tremendously competitive man.
And over the next few months, the three of them started to plan a grand experiment, a 12-person game that combined paintball guns and capture the flag and would span 100 acres of New Hampshire forest. They called it the survival game. They arranged for referees and staked out a property in Henniker, New Hampshire. And on June 27th, 1981, a dozen competitors showed up, decked out in camouflage, ready to play.
We had a guy who was the best turkey hunter in the state of Alabama. We had a a wild elk hunter, Green Beret lieutenant. We had a venture capitalist from New York. We had a surgeon. We had a movie producer.
Joe Drinan was there. Back then, he was a stockbroker and amateur boxer.
It was friendly competition, but believe me, it was fierce competition. I mean, except for me.
Drinan's wife, Ann, was there that weekend, too.
I looked at this equipment and I thought, I don't believe this. Like a bunch of five-year-olds going out in the woods and just having fun.
Sports Illustrated staffer Bob Jones was there, too, with a photographer for the magazine who was looking to shoot pictures rather than contestants. Along with the invitations, Charles and company had sent along 8 pages of rules. The players would be spread out across the perimeter of some 100 acres of land. Each would be equipped with a pair of goggles.
One of the nail spot pistols.
A few handfuls of pellets.
I think it was 12 or maybe 20 pellets.
A compass.
And a map.
Inside the forest would be 4 flag stations, each with 12 colored flags hanging from a branch.
White, green, blue, and red. And the point was to get one of each of the flags from each of the flag stations and be the first one out at the exit point, which was also marked on the map.
Players, of course, could eliminate each other at any point using the pistols, but
to be shot, to be officially put out of the game, you had to have paint on your clothes.
At 10 a.m., referees placed the contestants around the edge of the forest, out of sight from one another. And at the sound of a bullhorn, the game began.
You have to do everything possible to win, you know, no matter what.
It became every little twig that snapped, or every little bird, everything, every breeze, every branch that blew, was maybe somebody going, and it was just what kept the thing so exciting.
Hayes planned to outrun his opponents and started sprinting from station to station, collecting flags.
My strategy was, I thought, a great strategy. I was in great shape.
Meanwhile, Richie White, a licensed forester, he took the tried and true still hunting approach that he used when stalking deer.
Doing that, you hear someone else before they hear you, unless it's another person doing the same process.
Every little twig that snapped.
How people played the game reflected who they were.
Charles got 2 flags before facing off against the Green Beret, who took shelter in an old abandoned shack he found on the property.
We were shooting each other. I was shooting at him through the window. He was shooting me out the window. I was trying to circle around behind. And all of a sudden, I see this thing coming through the air, and it lands right at my feet. And it's a potato, and Tony says, grenade!
The potato was a joke, and eventually the two walked away in a truce. Both of them got tagged not long after.
So that was my Waterloo.
Hayes got 3 flags before being shot by a trauma surgeon who took out nearly half of the players single-handedly. And meanwhile, Richie, the certified forester, quietly made his way through the woods.
Ghosted through the whole field, picked up all 4 flags.
I don't think he even fired anything. The whole game.
I can't say that Richie White didn't take risks. He just avoided confrontation.
Do you remember when you got out with the flags? Did you know what had happened?
No, because it was over 2 hours. You know, I just said, well, who's ahead? I mean, who won? And they said, well, no one else is out.
It was the first recorded game of paintball ever played, but it was also the end of the debate between Charles and Hayes. The country boys had won.
Clearly the woods skills were the prevailing skills, you know, in the game.
For a storyteller, this tale is about as good as it gets. There's an almost mythical quality to the survival story, the argument, the characters. But for a journalist, well, let's just say there are problems. That first game of paintball wasn't just a good time. It was also a convenient bit of public relations. Not long after, Charles Hayes and their friend Bob Guernsey started a business, the National Survival Game.
Survival Game, an adult version of Capture the Flag. 2 equal teams that begin at opposite ends of a playing field.
As I spoke with people who were there and read firsthand accounts of the game written back in the 80s, a lot of little discrepancies started to pop up. After first getting the guns, Charles told me that he snuck up on Hayes.
It was a pretty simple, straightforward test, which I won.
But Hayes told me he snuck up on Charles.
I just crept up while I was right behind him.
And there are dozens of little problems about who did what, who first found the guns, who first bought the guns, where the argument started. And combing through all these different versions, you can see how the story was distilled, adapted for each new telling.
The truth is, my version is a true version.
If there are any irreconcilable differences in his story and mine, call me back.
In the end, maybe it doesn't matter. A good story is a good story.
That's reporter Taylor Quimby. You can hear even more about that first paintball game and its aftermath on the New Hampshire Public Radio podcast, Outside In.